You are listening to Standing in the Gap. If you would like more information, please visit us online at www.westendbsg.org. Thank you for listening and enjoy today's episode. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Welcome to another episode of Standing in the Gap. I'm your host, Pastor Josh Tompkins, and today we're going to do something just a little bit different, something unexpected, and for me, I think it's going to be kind of fun. Maybe not so much fun for you, but it will be fun for me. See, most of the time we step into the pastor study and we sit down and discuss a planned topic, usually related to the church or Christianity, but today I'm going to do something that I've always wanted to do. I'm going to go on a Monday morning rant. Now, let me explain what that is real quick before I get into the actual rant. We all know that Mondays are difficult for most people. The weekend's over, and now it's time to go back to work, and it's hard to get up or to go to work or to school after being off for 2 days. It usually takes a lot of coffee and a whole lot of patience. Well, Mondays are also notoriously difficult for pastors, but for different reasons. See, for us, our week has just ended. We've spent the entire week, and it's not just Saturday that we plan. We spend the entire week studying and preparing usually three or maybe even more sermons. We visited and invited and planned for the services, and then Sunday comes, and we spend that day praying and preaching and fellowshipping and counseling and making countless decisions. There's thousands of things that will come at a pastor in one day, and by the time Sunday is over, you have or you should have done your very best. And now, to be honest, you're wore out. You're spent. There's something about a full week and then an entire day of ministry that can be so incredibly encouraging to a pastor, but also it can be discouraging at the same time. It's encouraging as you look at the time you've given throughout the week and the effort you put into Sunday and how you've now gotten to see firsthand how God is working in the lives of your people. But more often than not, there's a great feeling of discouragement that will completely overtake and oftentimes even consume that encouragement that you have from that Sunday. So you say, what is so discouraging for a pastor on Sunday? You're not a pastor. You don't know what it's like. You don't understand the discouragement of a Sunday, a full week of ministry, and then waking up Monday morning and that hitting you in the face. So let me explain to you why it's discouraging. For one, there's discouragement in myself. It's a sense that I could have done better. I could have studied more. I could have invited more. I could have planned better. My outline could have been more clear. This illustration didn't work, or I should have said this or shouldn't have said that. There's a whole lot of self-examination that can be really discouraging. Charles Spurgeon, who was the prince of preachers, probably the greatest preacher aside from Paul or Jesus that ever lived, he said that he very rarely preached a sermon that he liked. So that can be extremely discouraging. And then there's that, and then there's the discouragement in others. You look out over the congregation, you see who isn't there. You see missing people, people that should be there, but they aren't. People that you invited, but they didn't show up. People that you've counseled, but they're not there for the second, third, or even the 40th week in a row. So you start to ask, where's such and such? Are they okay? Are they mad? Are they going to leave the church? That's discouraging. And then you look out over the congregation of the people who is there as you're preaching, and I get a different view than most people do. I get to see everybody's faces. And to be honest, any pastor can tell you this, that sometimes the people in the pews aren't there either. You see teenagers on their phones. You see others that are glossy-eyed. You see some that are fidgeting, others that are sleeping, and even you might even see somebody that's high. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen. And those faces in the pews and the actions of the people in the pews can be very discouraging. And then after all that, you wake up on Monday morning and this discouragement hits you square in the face. And just being honest, transparent here, you become frustrated and you become overwhelmed. And to be honest with you, you feel like ranting. You feel like going off and saying exactly what's on your mind. And you can't do that on Facebook. That's what everybody else does. They go on Facebook, they rant a little bit. People like it. People comment on it. You can't do that. You can't do that to your wife and kids. You can probably run them off, make them mad. You can't do that from the pulpit, although a lot of preachers like to get up and rant from the pulpit, but that's not the place for rants. That's the place for Scripture. So you say you do. Well, I've got a podcast, and I can rant on here. because honestly, there's not a whole lot of people that listen to this. And those who do listen to me right now, they can just turn me off. You can pause me. You can take your little arrow up to the corner and X me out. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go on a Monday morning rant. I'm just going to share what's on my heart and my feelings here. And no, I'm not frustrated or overwhelmed. We've actually had a good time here. But this is something that bugs me, and I want to rant about it. And this rant is going to ask a simple question. Who cares? And it's a serious question. Who cares? Because to me, and I may be wrong, it's possible, but not very likely, but it seems like people just don't care anymore. Oh, I know, people do care, but I think they care about the wrong things. Let me show you what people do care about. And I judge care based upon this. What are people willing to put time, effort, energy, passion, and money into? That shows how you care. Don't say you care and then not show it. So let me give you a list in no particular order of what people do care about, because I see care. People care. This is, again, no particular order, but number one, people care about sports. Everybody cares about sports, and by care, I mean they deeply care about sports. Kids play sports 7 days a week now, 12 months a year. There's even tournaments on Sundays now, and I'm going to stop right now and say, since when is it okay to have tournaments on Sunday? Since when is that acceptable? If parents and teams stopped going to the tournaments and allowing their kids to play in it, then the tournaments would stop. But the problem is parents care too much about sports to let it stop. They care too much about little junior winning a trophy. Do you want to see care? Watch those parents in the stands. They care a whole lot. It's passion, it's excitement, it's anger. There's a whole lot of care there. And it's really obvious where we live here in Big Stone Gap. We live in a town where we are famous for. There's videos online of our fans lining up at 9 a.m. on a Friday for a Friday night football game. Fans travel. Fans sit out in the cold. Fans don't miss a game. I've actually heard a guy say, I haven't missed a game in 45 years. We care a whole lot about sports. It's untelling how much money we spend on sports. Getting into games, reserving seats, buying the gear, eating the hot dogs and the candy bars. We spend a lot of money on sports, and it's not just the local sports. We do the same or more for college and pro teams. We know every player recruited and drafted. We wear the clothes that they sell. I don't think there's any doubt that we care about sports. Number two, and these things are okay. I'm just trying to prove that we care. People care about their job or school. And again, let me say this. I think it's a great thing to care about your job. I care about mine. I work as unto the Lord, and I want to do the very best job that I can do to the glory of my God. I want to get better. I want to do better. I want to be the best that I can be at my job. I want to be on time. I want to be prepared. I want to look nice. I mean, right? I mean, shouldn't we all? Because we care about our jobs. I also think it's a great thing that people care about school, whether it's kids in elementary school. I'm trying to teach my kids right now that they need to care about their education and about learning. Or teens in high school. We need to care about our grades and doing well. Or young adults in college. Or even older men like me getting ready to get a doctorate. We need to care about school and education. We need to do our best. And I think most people do. We spend more time, money, energy, effort on school and work than on almost anything else in our lives. We care. I'll give you another one. We care about health. We want to be healthy and live long lives, right? Of course, so we've become a very health-centric society. It's everywhere you turn, people are running, people are working out, people are running marathons and 5K paint runs and obstacle course runs, people are lifting weights and doing yoga and riding bikes and eating healthy, people are preparing meals and taking supplements and reading books and buying equipment, people pay monthly gym dues and pay inordinate amount of money for trainers, people are crossfitting and rowing, and I could go on and on and on and on. Everywhere you turn, people are doing everything they can to live a healthy lifestyle. And that's okay. People care so much that they can't miss that run, that workout, or that meal plan. People care about their health, and they care about their healthy image. Imagine, just with me for a second, how much time, money, and effort we put into our health. People spend hours at the gym, hours running. We care. I'll give you another one. This one's kind of funny. It may sound silly, but it's true. People care about their TV shows. Think about it. How much time, effort, energy do you put into being entertained? There's nothing wrong with having a favorite TV show. I have my favorites. I have my favorite shows that I watch and movies that I watch. It's good and it's healthy. But it seems like people today care a little too much about their entertainment when Sunday night is called the Walking Dead night. When you ask someone what they're doing on a given night of the week and they base their plans around what's on TV that night. When you know more about the storyline of a TV show than you do your own kids' lives, or you know more about the last episode of a show than you do the last sermon your pastor preached, it's no longer healthy, it's an obsession. Maybe that's none of you, but maybe it is. And maybe I've just made you mad because I called out your greatest anatomy obsession. Either way, you can see my point. We tend to get very passionate about our entertainment, about our TV shows. We care. We spend a lot of time entertaining ourselves. Seriously, answer this one. How much time in the past week have you spent with your face in a screen compared to time you spent with your face in the Bible? Now, I could go on and name more things. These are just things that popped into my head that I see as I'm living life that people care about. I could give you more. People care about their hobbies. People care about their vacations. I mean, we are a vacation-obsessed culture. We spend a crazy amount of time, money, energy, effort, and passion into resting, taking time off. People care about their clothes or their shoes or their pets. We could go on and on and on. And you say, now, where are you going with this? What are you getting at? Well, here it is. I've proved my point, and you sit there and you've nodded if you haven't turned me off yet, and you're saying to yourself, yeah, people care, and people care a lot. People are passionate about things. People put time into things. People can't miss things, and that's okay. And I know it's not the same for everyone, but we all care deeply about something. And I'm glad you have things in your life that you care about, that you care enough about to pour your time, your energy, your money, and your life into. That's good for you. It's good for me. We all need to things like that. That's not my problem. That's not the issue here. That's not what I'm ranting about. My problem is what you don't care about. You see, people don't seem to care about God anymore. Maybe they never did. Maybe they just did a better job of pretending to care. But people don't care about God nearly as much as they should. Or they don't care about God like they do other things. And I can prove it. Here's a list of things that people don't care about. And here's what I'm ranting about. People don't care about church. Let's be honest. How much do people really care about their church? If you cared, you'd show up. If you cared, you'd give. If you cared, you'd serve. If you cared, you'd pray. If you cared, you'd be on time. If you cared, you'd be prepared. If you cared, you'd know what was going on. And the truth is, you don't care. You say, yes, I do. Well, let me ask this. Do you care about church as much as you care about sports? I'm not seeing too many people line up at the doors of a church on Sunday at 9 a.m. waiting for an 11 o'clock service. I see people walking in at 11:10, if at all. I don't see too many people coming in the rain. I'm a pastor. I wake up on Sunday mornings, and if it's raining, I know the attendance will be down. I don't see too many people coming when it's snowing or sleeting. I don't see too many people bragging about not missing a service in 45 years. So ask yourself, do I care as much about church as I do my sports? Ask this, do you care about church in the same way you do your job or school? Are you always on time? Do you never miss a day for a runny nose? Do you bring a doctor's excuse to your pastor if you miss a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Sunday night? Imagine if you treated school or work like you do church. You'd probably get fired or you'd get called to court for truancy. Let's go down the list again. Do you care about church as much as you do your health? What if you prepared for church like you do your meals? Do you care about church like you do your TV shows? This one's tough. Are there TV shows that you can't miss, right? And if you do miss them, you go back and watch them so you don't want to miss a thing? Can you say the same thing for your church? I don't want to miss a single service. And if I do, I'm going to go back to online and I'm going to look it up and I'm going to listen because I don't want to miss a single thing that's been said in church. No, we care more about our TV shows than we do our church. And yeah, I'm ranting here. The honest truth for most people is church is a take it or leave it attitude and most are leaving it. It's a, if nothing else is going on, I'll be there on Sunday, maybe. It's a don't care attitude towards God's church. Because people really don't care all that much about church. And that ought to irritate all of us. I'll give you another one. People don't care about church and people don't care about learning. And this one really bugs me. Even your most faithful churchgoers care more about singing than they do learning. They can tell you more about the Sunday set list than they can the Sunday scripture. People nowadays are satisfied with what they know and have no desire to learn anything else. Doctrine and theology, which theology is the knowledge of God, study of God. Doctrine and theology is a forgotten word in the church, and out the door with it went any true discipleship. Music doesn't disciple you. Preaching and teaching does. You tell me the last thing you learned about God, and I'll tell you if you care or not. It's a don't care attitude towards learning, growing, and discipleship. People just don't care about learning. Remember, I said if you care, you'll put your passion, your effort, your energy, your time, and your money into it. People don't care about learning. Number three, I say some of you's already turned me off already. People don't care about evangelism. This one doesn't bug me, it hurts me. And I'm going to make this easy on you. We'll determine whether you care or not. When was the last time you prayed for someone that isn't saved? Okay, you've done that. You care a little. Now, when was the last time you invited someone to church? Okay, your care probably just went down a notch. Now, when was the last time you shared the gospel with that person? We've just taken it down even lower. When was the last time you asked someone else to pray for that person? When was the last time you wept over that person's soul? When was the last time you got so burdened over that person that you sent them the hardest text imaginable and said, I am concerned about your soul? Can you really say you care if none of this has taken place? Can you say you care about your children if the number one burden of your heart for them isn't their soul? It's heartbreaking. We live in an area that says it's 99% Christian, and 99% of those don't care about the ones that aren't saved. Charles Spurgeon said, if you haven't wished others to be saved, then you are not saved yourself. He didn't say probably not saved. He said you're not saved. And it's a problem. It's heartbreaking that people don't care about the eternity of their lost loved ones. Number four, and we're getting to the end here. People don't care about missions. This doesn't get talked about much, but I'm not even going to make this easy on you. Name me one missionary that you pray for and support. And I don't mean those short-term, take a selfie, build a well, pat yourself on the back missionaries. I mean real missionaries. I mean those that pack everything they own up and go to an unreached people group and spend their entire lives reaching them. How many can you name? How many do you pray for? How many do you support? How much of your monthly money goes to supporting these missionaries? Okay then, can you say you care? Last one, people don't care about how they live or how they represent Christ or about the sin in their life. When was the last time you confessed sin and repented of it? When was the last time you confessed and repented of something you said or something you wore or something you did or something you watched or a place you went to? When was the last time you told yourself no to anything? When was the last time you asked yourself, does this action glorify God? If that's not much, can you really say you care? So back to my main point. People care, but they don't care about God. Honestly, examine these things. If you care more about the top list than you do the bottom, if you spent more time, energy, effort, passion, and you put more of your life into the top list than you do the bottom list, then the conclusion is you don't care about God or you care very little about God. You might say, no, I care a whole lot about God. He's numero uno on my list. I just don't care about all those things you mentioned. Well, here's the thing with that. If you don't care about what God cares about, do you really care about God? I can give you scripture upon scripture upon scripture upon scripture that says God cares about these things that I've mentioned. But I've looked and I really can't find any scripture that says God cares about that first list. So the question remains, for those still listening, who cares? I don't know. And this crosses my mind on Monday mornings a lot. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I care too much. Maybe it's my problem. Maybe I'm a pastor, and I care more deeply about these things than others. Maybe I'm different. Maybe I need to take a chill pill, enjoy life, and binge watch the Gilmore Girls with my wife. Right? I mean, that's what Paul would do, right? He'd chill out, you know, take it easy. That's what Peter would do, right? Or Timothy, or James, or Jesus, you know, take it easy, you know, calm down. Don't care so much about people. Don't care so much about the church that you would die for it. Don't care so much about learning that you counted everything in Philippians 3 as trash so that you might know Christ and Him crucified. No, they didn't care too much, did they? No, I don't think so. I think the problem is that everybody else doesn't seem to care enough. I don't think people realize that one day they're going to stand before God and they will give an account. And their life will be sorted out. And God will give them an assessment of the life that they've lived here. And He will test the quality of their life and their works by fire. And He will take everything that you cared about and everything that you lived for, and He will put it into a fire. The gold and the precious metals, the valuable things, will remain. And the wood, hay, and the stubble will be burned up. And I believe at that time, it will be proven that a lot of what we cared about here was nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. That much of our lives was engaged in what is essentially useless and meaningless things. I think it will be shown that we didn't care about or spend our time on what really mattered like we should. And for me, that's scary to think about. Maybe it's time for all the listeners that are left to examine your life and ask the question, do I care? Maybe you need a dose of Revelation 2 when Jesus told the church at Ephesus, you've lost your first love. You've lost your first care. You've lost your first priority. And maybe it's time for all of us to do what He said we should do if that's the case. And I quote, we should remember, therefore, from whence we are fallen, and repent, and do the first works, and care again. And now, as they say on Facebook, rant over.
We hope you will join us next time for another episode of Standing in the Gap. You've got